Thank you, John, for your message. It seems funny that both our speakers this morning are involved with the Roman Catholics, although they're at opposite ends of the sphere. I'm going to call on our brother Sam Robinson to come and give us the scope of the CMML. Sam is the president, and he's the young gentleman that I have to deal with. I don't know who burns up more of the telephone lines, him or me, but in getting a conference like this off the ground. But anyway, I'm going to call on Sam at this time to bring a message. Thanks.
Thank you, George. That's the first time I've been called a young man in a long while. We want to talk a little bit this morning about the scope of assembly missionary work. When a lot of missionary societies, not only in this country, but in the UK and in many sending countries, when their numbers are dwindling, and the support seems to be fading away, that is not true of assembly missions. There's been a steady growth over the years of assembly missionaries from North America. In 1973, there were 516 assembly missionaries from North America. 10 years later, there were 619, and today there are 735 missionaries commended from assemblies in North America serving the Lord in the mission field. The estimated population of assemblies in the United States and Canada are 65,000. I don't know where they come up with that figure. But that's the approximate figure of assembly members in North America in one of the missionary handbooks. And that means that well over 1% of the assembly Christians are directly involved in missionary work. And no other group can match that percentage. I'm happy to say that the same thing is true in the UK. Although there has been an increase in missionaries from England, there has been a slight decrease, fall off from missionaries from Scotland and Northern Ireland. But overall, there has been an increase. Unfortunately, the same is not true of the groups in New Zealand and Australia. There has been a slight decrease. But taking overall, with the increase in North America and England, there is still growth in the number of assembly missionaries. Unfortunately, since the new handbook was issued, a few have been called home. I'm sure many of you, if not most of you, have heard that Doris Budd of Japan was called home to be with the Lord about a month ago. And then just a week and a half ago, Arne Lenhartsen, who served the Lord in Zaire for many years, was called home to be with the Lord after suffering from cancer for about 9 years. And for the sake of some of you dislocated Christians from the Northeast, many of you would know John Reed, that went to the Fanwood Assembly in Fanwood, New Jersey, the Terrell Road Assembly in Fanwood, New Jersey. Last Monday night, he was out at the Kenilworth Missionary Prayer Meeting. He had a pain in his back. When he got home, they rushed him to the hospital, found an aneurysm, and he died on the operating table on Monday night. John Reed worked in the field's office for many years, and worked in association with Dr. Harlow when Dr. Harlow was in that office. So you might remember his widow in prayer. And I must express the sincere regrets of John Jeffers and also Bob Longo, who were due to come fly down yesterday afternoon, but with the snowstorm and Newark Airport ended up with 18 inches of snow yesterday. All the flights were canceled out of Newark, so consequently John and Bob Longo could not come. Bob was especially looking forward to coming down and meeting some of the Christians in this area. Bob is married to a Japanese national, Megumi. Megumi means grace in Japanese, a lovely Japanese lady who did an excellent job of teaching. She was actually Bob Longo's Japanese language teacher in Japan, and she did an excellent job of teaching Bob Japanese, but he did not do a very good job of trying to teach her English. So when she was home, they were home on furlough, she went to Mama's College, not too far from Simamel, to study English, and she's doing quite well in the English language. Just a few mentions of I'd like to mention a few problems, not problems, but problem areas on the mission field. In Mexico, just recently, the municipal leaders have expelled hundreds of Christians from indigenous communities in one of the largest forced expulsions in recent memory. That's something that we thought for a while, that the conditions were easing up in Mexico, but that has just happened recently. And then, you know, in the Republic of China, there's no missionaries allowed, of course, but many have gone into China as teachers. Now the government in China has enacted new regulations which could impact the 2,000 expatriate Christian professionals working in the country. All foreign workers must now register directly with the State Bureau of Foreign Experts. And then in Albania, when Albania opened, we have to take our hats off to our Italian brethren. When the refugees flocked across the border from Albania into Italy, the brethren there were ready. They opened up their Bible camps for the refugees, provided food and clothing and the gospel. And they saw many of the Albanian refugees saved. And, of course, they were sent back to Albania, and as a result, our Italian brethren have an excellent entree into Albania and the work there, and there's three assemblies functioning in Albania today. But the Muslims are taking advantage of the new educational opportunities. They've established 9 schools in recent months, and the only other religious school in the country is a seminary founded by Roman Catholics. So we need to pray for the work in Albania. Angola, we used to hear a lot about Angola with men like Tiernest Wilson and Albert Horton and others that labored so faithfully, and David Long that labored so faithfully in Angola. But there's a war going on there, and it's sometimes referred to as the Forgotten War. There are more than 1,000 people dying each day in Angola, and we hear very little about what is going on there, but we need to pray for our Christian brethren and sisters. Many have been martyred, and we need to pray for the believers in Angola. And then in Burundi, more than 150,000 people in Burundi may have been massacred so far in tribal violence after the aborted military coup following democratic elections. And as you know, the Johnsons labor in Burundi, and also Dwej Dwight Hedgepath labors there, and there's millions of Burundians that have fled across the border into Rwanda. And then South Africa is a hotbed of violence. Murchison Hospital is almost a battleground in no man's land. The director of Murchison Hospital is Dr. Terry Gilpin, a good friend of mine. And Terry is in constant danger. One doctor was driving home and a bullet went right through the car. Others were stopped and harassed. Dr. Gilpin himself, a few months ago, drove home, and as he was about to get out of his car, he saw the glint of a knife coming from behind a bush. He made a dash for his dog, released the dog, and the dog went after the man with the knife, chased him away. Terry escaped, but he went to other places in the area, and fortunately they were able to apprehend the fellow, but they were out for Terry's life that night. So we need to pray. There's many of the not only the Christians but the village people coming in to try to spend the night in safety within the compound at Murchison Hospital. So pray there for the believers in South Africa. And then in Japan, Bob Longo's not here, but Japan, the cost of living is extremely high. The work ethic over there requires that a man in his position, he can't leave until his boss leaves. And if his boss works till 10 or 11 o'clock at night, he stays till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. One thing that impressed me a number of years ago when I was in Japan, we arrived in Tokyo at 9:30 on a Friday night. Now, 9:30 on a Friday night in the Wall Street area of New York City, it's a ghost town. But 9:30 on a Friday night in Tokyo, the buildings were abuzz with activity and light. They were still working. There's one elder in one of the assemblies in Tokyo that I know, and he refuses to work on Sunday. And because of that, he has been held back and threatened with losing his job because he's tried to stay faithful to the assembly. Another brother was a pilot for a Japanese Airlines flying 747, but he felt it was taking him too often away from the assembly and away from his family, and he gave up his job spend time, more time with his assembly. So for a lot of these Christians, they pay a big price in the country of Japan. The Muslim religion is the fastest growing religion today, and it's threatening so many countries in Africa and Senegal and throughout the Sudan. And the Muslims have declared that their aim is to get Christianity out of Africa. So pray for our brethren that labor in Africa. In Europe, France is a heathen country, you might say. They need the gospel desperately, as many other countries in Europe. The former Eastern Bloc nations, they are, shall we say, getting tired of Western religion. They're even getting tired of Western Christianity. And especially in Russia, the Russian Christians are horrified at some of the music that's coming in, this contemporary music that's coming in, with Western Christians, and they are starting to get very skeptical of what the Western Christians are bringing to their country. And of course, the question remains is how much longer will the doors in Russia be open? I was glad to see Paul Rogers show pictures of Argentina. He showed pictures of the large assembly building in Buenos Aires, Villarreal. I had the pleasure of being there for a conference some 2.5 years ago, and I think that was the largest conference I've ever attended, because there was 5,000 in attendance. Villarreal is right beside the high school that the assemblies have, and the one side of the auditorium in Villarreal, there are sliding partitions, which exposes the gymnasium of the high school. So that's where they had the conference, and the auditorium of Villarreal actually was almost the gallery. But there was 5,000 Christians there, and you didn't have to look for the young people. The young people were quite in evidence and quite involved, and it was a thrill. They had a choir of 300 young people, and when they sang, even though it was in Spanish, it was a tremendous conference. But we should not be discouraged. There are a tremendous group of young people in our assemblies today. And someone has said, a Christian is immortal until his job is done. And there's a lot of gray hairs, there's a lot of white hairs in this auditorium this morning. But your job isn't done, or you'd be with the Lord in glory. But we need these young people in our assemblies today. We need to cultivate them. We need to encourage them. And let's not shake our finger at them, but put our arms around them and encourage them to not only go on for the Lord, but to witness for the Lord. Our job isn't done. A lot of us seem to get to look at a lot of Christians today. You would think the church's task was done, but it's not done. There are still millions that need the gospel. There are millions that need to hear the good news of salvation. And there are hundreds and hundreds of young people in our assemblies today across the United States and across Canada that with a little encouragement from you and I will go out and do great things for God. But we need to encourage them. You know, one of the hallmarks of the assemblies, from the very outset of the assemblies, has been the zeal for evangelism. But in some areas, I think we've changed the Lord's commission from go and tell to come and hear. And if they don't come, well, we tried, that's it. But if they don't come, go out into the highways and byways and preach the gospel. That's what we need to do. We need to rekindle that flame, that zeal for evangelism, and get out there and reach the lost for Christ. If there's any young people in your assembly, please encourage them. Don't discourage them. Pray for them. I remember, and with this I'm sure my time is up, I remember that at our missionary orientation program that we have, we had last year in Greenwood Hills last June, Patrick Long said that every Christian should have a mission statement. We should have a mission statement. Now, he didn't tell us what his mission statement was, and I certainly didn't tell him what mine was. But I'll tell you what one of my mission, part of my mission statement is. Part of my mission statement is to encourage the young people in the assemblies. Now, we can't encourage them all. But I know, as a young Christian, there was an evangelist, and he was an evangelist because he used to travel all over the United States and Canada and have weeks of gospel meetings. But even though he was involved in gospel meetings, my wife and I lived in the heart of New York City trying to maintain a missionary apartment, and it could get very discouraging. And I'll say this, if I haven't said it here before, I'll say it now. Every missionary that came, every one of the Lord's servants that came brought happiness. Most of them by coming, but some of them by going. And it was very discouraging at times. But this evangelist, I'd get a little letter just when it was needed most. Dear Sam and Ruth, a word of encouragement, signed affectionately. I thank God for that brother and what he meant to me in days of discouragement. And because of that, I'm not going to tell you who they are, but there's young men throughout this country that I specifically pray for. And I saw one at our conference in Cincinnati that I hadn't seen in 5 years. And I mentioned to him, Brian, I'm still praying for you. And he went and told his mother, and his mother came with tears in her eyes. She said, thanks, Sam, for praying for my son. That fellow's going on well for God. Let's make that our goal. Let's pray specifically for certain young men and women that they'll catch that zeal for evangelism and go on to serve the Lord. Thank you, George.
Thank you, Sam, for the word of encouragement. The 1994 prayer handbooks are on sale in the foyer. They're still $2 each, or three for $5. There was also some cards back there, so about 3x5 cards. So if you have any questions for the panel this afternoon, if you'd like to write down the questions and turn them in to me, we'll make sure that the panel gets them. So they're on the registration table at the rear. Now I'm going to call on our brother Carlton Tiss to come and give thanks for the refreshments. And I'm going to ask you to please be back here in your seats by 1 o'clock so that we'll start our afternoon session on time. Carlton.